welcome to another Portfolio Profile bonus episode of the Tech Meme Ride Home. We're going to talk to a company that the Ride Home Fund has invested in, like we do on these shows, but it's going to be a little different this time. You've heard of this company before, a couple times, actually. We're talking to Robert from Round, which you can find out more about at ROWND.io. You can look up the previous episodes where they've introduced themselves and whatnot. But the way it works with investing is, you know, you get sort of regular updates on how things are going from your portfolio companies. The best companies give them to you automatically without having to ask for them. Other companies, you have to ask for them, but whatever. What I thought we would do with Rob today was we would just do one where imagine that this is the email that he sent me, and this is a check-in for how things are going at Round, and he's gonna, you'll get a sense of like what a startup would want to report to the investor. We're not going to go into hard numbers like revenue figures and things like that, but broad strokes, you're going to get a sense of what sort of like an investor would want to look for from their company and what a company can report and wants to tell their investors and whatnot. So Rob, welcome, and thanks for giving us an update.
No problem. And we are one of those good companies that sends these out.
You are
about once every 2 months. Once every month is a bit much for a startup, you know, that's pivoting a lot and trying to find a product market fit. But once every 2 months, and to be honest, the point of these updates is not just to communicate to investors, but a lot of investors want to help. They want to like provide some, you know, cool introductions, or you know, they might have a secret you know, sauce that they want to, you know, try to help you out with. So this is a great opportunity to ask for help. And that's kind of how this is split up. Is the first thing that a good investor update has are the numbers. And I'll go into rough numbers here. I'm not going to go into exact numbers. And then highlights, lowlights. And this is really important. You want to be very honest with your investors. You don't want to like hide these things, because your investors want to help you. Their job is to help you. It's in their best interest to help you.
It's so like, going to the doctor, but not letting on that, oh, by the way, I started taking crystal meth a month ago.
Yeah. Or my foot, I can't feel my foot anymore.
Like, right. It's purple. Be honest and tell them what's really happening. Yeah.
Yeah. And the final section is how you can help. And I'll kind of walk through those like I would a normal investor update. This is actually a one I'm going to send out at the end of the month. So you're all getting it a little bit early with some cool updates and a few other things. So here we go. So the first thing we talk about is revenue in the form of MRR, cash on hand, and runway. And the runway is a no burn rate runway. So like, no revenue runway. So like if all our customers left us, how much time we got? So our revenue is increasing. We're increasing about 15% a month, which is pretty good, you know, for where we are, you know, annually. That's looking like about 250% a year. Last year's increase was like 680%. But again, we're going from a small number to a much larger number. Our cash on hand, we actually have the same cash on hand right now that we did last year after our round, which is pretty good. So it's like we are sitting in a place where we are probably, you know, plus or minus break even. But if we lost all our customers, we still have 28 months of runway. So these are just important numbers, you know, to know that if you're an investor, you're probably thinking like, all right, these guys can survive whatever's to come in the next year. After that, we might start looking at them, but you know, they're probably not going to raise like a seed extension or something like that. Unless a great opportunity comes up. And if they do, they're going to come to me and ask for a top-notch valuation.
Well, I was going to say, which is something that, you know, maybe I might not be in a position to offer you as an investor, right? So like, again, like an immediate ask for money. Oh, they're not immediately asking for money. They're fine. And so as an investor, that sounds pretty good to me. Just from this side of the table.
Yeah. And like we are a scrappy startup, right? Like we like having a nice runway. It attracts better talents. Like if you're going to hire someone and they say we have 8 months of runway, you know, that might be hard. But if you say you got 2 years of runway, even after you hire them, you know, that's easier. And it's also great for customers, because customers want to know this kind of stuff, especially as you move up to bigger customers. They want to know what your runway is, because they're like, if I'm going to spend, you know, the time and effort to integrate with you and you've got a business in 12 months, it's not worth my time, right? So like these things are all integrated. And it's kind of one of those cycles where like if runway gets out of control and you're down to 6 months, it'd be hard to increase that because investors don't want to, you know, put money at bad money after money, and they don't want to, and customers may even avoid you because you're like, this is risky, because customers are actually investing in you. But that's a different question all around. So those are kind of like the top line revenue. Top thing I put at the top of every one of these. I literally just copy and paste it out of a Brex, you know, and makes life easy. Number two are highlights. These are just things that have happened in the last period, things that you think that your investors might find interesting. You're not bragging here. Although I do like to brag about my about Round and what my what the team is doing and our customers, I think is great. But this is just like, here's what we're doing, and you know, there might be a moment of a spark that an investor has, like, oh, I have another company that needs this thing. This is awesome. So here's where we put stuff like, we just signed a contract with Near. Near is a large blockchain, Near protocol. We got a grant from their foundation to provide authentication and cool wallet creation. This is really neat, and we already have a few customers on board with it, and it's a great opportunity for us. And then down below, I have ask around that. But you know, I put that, and then I put the actual contract amount, which I don't think is supposed to be public, but I'm gonna give you guys. I think I already said it, so no problem there. But again, and then I go into what the opportunity is. I think this might be $100,000, sales opportunity in the future, plus. And I try to lowball those numbers. I don't want to be too optimistic here. Like, between everyone on this call, I think this could be $1 million opportunity or $10 million opportunity. But you know, I'm going to start a little bit lower in highlights because I don't want to be held accountable to those numbers in something that is actually an experiment. This is a good experiment for us. We get paid for this experiment. We have some customers that I think will love it. But if at the end of the day, it doesn't, you know, go like radically awesome, you know, we find out something about the world and we can share it with our investors. Number two is that we got to go to South by Southwest to pitch. We were in the South by Southwest pitch. This is actually an update for our last one, but you know, I'll let you guys know for this one. It was an awesome opportunity. We got to pitch. We did not win the pitch, which again, as someone who likes to win, that hurt a little bit, but just to be up on stage was awesome. You know, the hundreds, thousands of companies that applied, we were there. Got free South by Southwest tickets. Got to network and do our mini pitch like probably 1,000 times to everyone standing in line to go see the latest and greatest tech thing or movie. So it was a lot of fun and a great opportunity for Round. We have a few leads out of that as well. One of our customers is a larger name customer called the Next Big Idea Club. They provide books and cool opportunities. It's live with Rounds. They installed it in their apps and in their websites. And here's a great update. In days, we doubled their conversion rates, which is what we say we do. But you know, for another customer to reach out to us and be like, here's the actual chart that shows, you know, we had this conversion rate, now it's double that. And for them to reach out to us and be like excited about it was really cool. And it's just another one of our cool customers, you know, that's coming on board. There's more down below.
There's no better metric than with the marketing yang you spit at people when they actually regurgitate it to you, because it's not just marketing BS, it's actually real. Like they realized exactly what you sold them on. Like that's an excellent sign.
Yeah. And that team has been amazing. And then the other good news is that we had very limited impact by SVB. I guess everyone had very limited impact, but we had 1 month's runway in SVB and took him.
Wait, can you just real quick, cause I haven't spoken to anybody. I mentioned that several portfolio companies were exposed. So you were limitedly exposed. It wasn't like you had everything in there or anything like that. No. Did you feel like it was a weekend of people emailing me and some of them in panic, you know, just give me really briefly any concerns and like how you dealt with that in terms of like even internally with employees and stuff like that?
Yeah. So this was a great opportunity to really, practice, good crisis communication. So there's two sides of it, right? And we have to see good and bad. So on one side, I had investors mostly, contacting me saying, how much money do you have in there? This ranged from, hey, just curious to like, get your money out now. Those are the range of what I got in the course of a 2-day period.
I'm pretty sure I did not contact you because I was not hair on fire, but I'm not saying that I'm morally superior to anyone. I'm just saying I wasn't panicked, but go on.
But I will tell you, Brian, that in this moment, you learn a lot about someone, right? About an investor. Like, what would this investor be like on your board? Like, we don't have a board, you know, we have a board, but we don't have a, you know, an investor on a board because we're a seed company. But like, you know, there were some that were like, here's some resources for you. That's awesome. That's what I want on a board, right? Some were like, get your money out now. Not as, I appreciate the panic. You know, this was a big situation, but like, maybe just find out if we have any in there. And again, like, you know, it's, we knew even at that point,
right? Because the FDIC, the concept of being helpful is, if you think you're being helpful by being like, there's a fire in the building, jump out the window, that's one thing. There's and any information in a panic is useful, except for the fact that, okay, if you're in trouble, how can you make payroll? It's the jump out the window versus, I have a ladder over here that I might be able to get to you by Monday.
Exactly. Yep. And that was interesting to see. And in all fairness, most investors were in the I want to help phase, but there were a few that were in the jump out of the building phase. So that's one side of it. Second side was employees. Like, we had limited exposure. We had 1 month's runway in there. You know, we have 28 months runway. This was not going to cause us any immediate issues. But at the time, if you put yourself back in a Thursday, we weren't sure what other banks were going to fall. Like, we put our money in Brex, and at the time, they had, you know, their FDIC limit was $1 million. They've since increased it to 2.25 using their sweeping. So I feel much more confident there. We didn't have another bank account. Like, we had two, and again, people are like, "Well, how did you have more?" Like, this has never happened.
Because no one has more. No one. Yeah. If you're a giant multinational corporation, if you're a public company, then there is an entire job that is. It's money management at a high level, at a C level, exactly. Where it's like you put your money into money market funds, into treasury notes and things like that, and it's managing the treasury. A startup, a pre-Series A startup, has two bank accounts. Who would have more than two bank accounts, right? It's not a thing. Although I'm seeing products jumping up where it's like, here, spread it across 10 bank accounts or whatever, but no one would expect that. And so nobody in the startup ecosystem in the scale that we're talking about with Round and other portfolio companies would be even expected to have a sophistication beyond, do you have a bank account? Good. Do you have more than one? Better. But beyond that, nothing. Yeah.
So like, there's some stress there. So I just want to make sure to our employees that we communicated early, like, this is on like Thursday, midday, where it's like, we have limited exposure, you know, to this, but your paycheck's going to come on time. And I actually made sure that our payment provider, JustWorks, took a debit out right then and there from Brex early, just in case something in the world would happen. So I knew the money was safe, but who knows what could happen in the next week. So like, that was to make sure that our employees don't lose sleep over this. The last one was our customers. We actually reached out to our customers and said, hey, if this is impacting you, let us know. And we are not going to turn off your accounts. But like, we'll just let you, you know, you can keep on, you don't have to pay us right away. Like, if you have a choice between payroll and Round, do payroll, and we will make it all worthwhile after FDIC settles all this stuff. It might be a month from now, but we'll take care of you. And the vast majority of our customers were not impacted or didn't have a lot of impact. But again, the outreach is important because not only did it show that we are a good company that actually takes care of our customers, but it also showed us if we had any exposure there. Because the other side of exposure here is not just my money, but our runway, right? It's like the actual, you know, our monthly revenues could be impacted greatly from this if, you know, three banks go under and, you know, just understand where that is. So this is also kind of like a way for us to understand what our exposure is from the long tail of this thing, which is not just right now, but in the coming weeks and months. You know, can our customers going to go out of business? And do we have to move around?
All right. So thankfully for all of us, it was a huge storm that passed really quickly. So so what else in the update? We survived SVB. Yeah, go ahead. When you go through airport security, there's one line where the TSA agent checks your ID and another line where a machine scans your bag. The same thing happens in enterprise security, but instead of passengers and luggage, it's end users and their devices. These days, most companies are pretty good at the first part of the equation where they check user identity. But user devices can roll right through authentication without getting inspected at all. In fact, 47% of companies allow unmanaged, untrusted devices to access their data. That means an employee can log in from a laptop that has its firewall turned off and hasn't been updated in 6 months, or worse, that laptop might belong to a bad actor using employee credentials. Collide finally solves the device trust problem. Collide ensures that no device can log into your Okta-protected apps unless it passes your security checks. Plus, you can use Collide on devices without MDM, like your Linux fleet, contractor devices, and every BYOD phone and laptop in your company. Visit collide.com/ride to watch a demo and see how it all works. That's KOLIDE.com/ride, collide.com/ride. We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there is no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, their crossword puzzles, just because they're available right now or they take your slightly sketchy insurance. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance, so literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately, no more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And these docs all have verified reviews from actual real patients. We're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. I have personally used ZocDoc to find a podiatrist when I needed one for the first time ever in my life. Go to ZocDoc.com/techmeme and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/techmeme. ZocDoc.com/techmeme.
Yep. So that was the highlight section. There's some other customers you go into, but for time purposes, I'm gonna go into lowlights now. So these are some things that happened to us in the last few months. One is our email provider went down for 55 minutes one day. Very stressful. At the time, we had one email provider. They have 99.969s of uptime. They're great. So we still use them as our primary email provider.
See, like banks, you need multiple email providers, apparently.
These are the things that you learn. And back when we started Round, we had a few hundred sign-ins a day. Now we are, authenticating millions of people a month. Millions. So hour down means 10,000 people don't sign in. If they use email. We've since added Google and Apple and Passkey and other ways to get around, this kind of stuff. But for those customers, it means that our email's not going out. It had a limited impact on our customers, but it did show a vulnerability. So since then, we've added some robustness to that. Two is that we were a target of a multinational SMS hijacking scheme, which is really cool and something I did not know about. I'll spend 1 minute on it. It might be a totally different topic about this, and I'll give you a link for your show notes so people can read up on it. But basically, we allow our customers to authenticate with SMS. They can put that into their system. This hijacking ring went and took that code out of and started to send text messages randomly to countries that have less than desirable regulatory natures. So smaller third world countries, and these hijackers basically go to the telecom carriers and say, hey, we'll split the profits with you, and then they go and get Amazon or Twilio to pay money. So
the local telecoms are in on the scam.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's all part of this. There's about 80 countries where this goes on. It's well known. We were a bit naive, thinking that hey, this isn't going to happen to us. So we made our SMS API very easy, and it started with just one IP address, and then it went to 10, and then we kept on changing, our IP-based rate limiting down to the point where we had down to one per IP, and then 100,000 hit all at the same time. It was pretty awesome. My team handled it so well. It was kind of it'd be a really boring movie, but it was captivating and stressful, but also awesome. Seeing all right, shutting this down. And then we built all this robustness around bot protection since then. So if you try it today, it's not going to work, but hopefully. But yeah, it was a thing. But the thing was, we couldn't turn off SMS because, again, our customers rely upon us. We had to balance, our customers and us losing just a little bit of money. I think we lost $2,000 total. And then we also went to, to AWS, who provides those, and said, do not pay these telecom people because you're just going to make this worse. So that was an interesting one. Number three in our lowlights is we've had three smaller customers go out of business, which means they stopped paying us. If there's good news in it, it's that they were under $200 a month MRR, which is a small percentage of what we do. This is our number one cause for churn now, is customers going out of business, which, you know, for a pre-seed or seed company, they just can't raise money. And I think this is a preview of, you know, what the next year or two could be for SaaS type companies.
Right. Because I'm not going to ask you for a percentage, but you do a lot of business with other startups.
And yes.
Yeah. Yeah. People forget that in previous downturns, especially the dot-com era, like one of the things that killed a lot of startups is a lot of startups served other startups. And like, that's a concern. Even if there's not a broader recession, if the recession is in your industry, it's
Yep. And the good news about this is that we do have a diversified portfolio of companies. It's part of my like risk mitigation aspect of being a CEO, is much like how you put your mutual fund, your savings in mutual funds and stocks and savings and bonds. Like, we do the same thing when it comes to companies. So about a third of our revenue comes from nice government contracts. We provide authentication to the DoD. It's pretty cool. And then we also have, about a third in what I would call not startups. You know, like the Next Big Idea Club is not a startup. You know, they provide thousands of books to people all over the world. And then we have about a third in kind of the riskiest, but the highest payoff category, right? These are like meme stocks. like if you get in early and these things go up, like, you are the auth provider for this thing that goes off, but a lot of them are not going to hit. So like, right, you just have to know that going in.
The advantages is you grow with them, and that also helps you. This is so true for a lot of SaaS companies and early stage companies. Like, if you get in and you're a rocket ship and you write another rocket ship, you can learn about what your customers could potentially need because you're growing with them and you're seeing the needs. And they're like, hey, by the way, could you do this for us? And you're like, holy shit, that's an amazing product line that we never thought of. You can learn with the customers.
And every pixel in our platform, our self-service platform that's become Steam, that was created by largely startup founders, like telling us what they need access to. The larger companies, they're just slower. They take 6 months on board. These guys, they want to get on tomorrow, and it really keeps us focused on creating cool stuff. So that's been a great, and I love our startup founders. It's just that they're a bit more risky. Our Slack channel is full of dead ones. So.
Let me remind again that check out Round, ROWND.io. I don't know why I always make the W and the R reversed in my head. Let me bring you to the asks, because
that's where I was about to go.
Any conclusion is, and sometimes in notes like this, it's like you ask for. You ask specific people for things, and because you know who the investor letter is going out to or whatever, and then there's some broad asks. But we don't know in this audience who is listening that might have I know something about this or whatever. So any asks that you would maybe give to investors that could also be applicable to however many thousand people are listening to this, like,
yes,
yeah, go ahead.
There's three asks that I'm going to have in this next one that I'll give to everyone.
Yeah.
Ask number one is that we are probably the top one or two mobile app authentication platform in the world now. Like, not by actual volume, but what we can actually do. Like, it's really, really cool, and the apps that do it are awesome. So if anyone out there has an app or has a referral to someone that wants to grow faster with less money, if that's you, then please reach out. Would love to chat. I'll put some contact information in the show notes here. That'd be awesome, because we love the feedback. I don't care the size of the company. Like I said, you can be a large company and we can help you. You can be a startup and we can really get into the weeds and just provide feedback even. That's number one. Number two is that we're doing a bunch of cool stuff in the e-commerce area, like WooCommerce and Shopify. Their login and their authentication is horrible. If you ever used it, you got to email address, password is kind of fractionized, but we actually integrate very nicely with it. So you can have the little one tap in the corner, and we've seen a lot of growth there. So if you have a e-commerce platform and you want to really get people more engaged and be able to provide them nice customized recommendations and other things around the profile, we can help to get them logged in faster at 90% higher rates. Like, it's really cool how fast we can grow that from that little button you press in the profile area to actually like a Google one tap in the corner. It's really awesome. Please reach out. And the third thing is we have a new demo app that's out there. It's demo.round.com. I'll put in the show notes, demo.round.com. We actually got the .com, so pretty cool. Totally different story. Wait, now.
I keep saying I/O. So
IO is fine. IO yeah. still goes to the site. And our API is still IO, but we got the .com, which is a totally different story. Short story is that it was a CrossFit gym owner in UAE. So fun little story there. But
totally you don't have to tell me how much you had to pay for it, but you had to negotiate.
Not much. It was not much.
But it's still a negotiation. There's another portfolio company we have that is going after a very big branding step, and it's become a multi-week thing.
This actually spanned 8 months, and it was us walking away from ridiculous numbers. And just saying we don't need that to the point where it's like, here it is. It was a great opportunity to chat with him. But I'll put that in the. I'll make sure that's in the show notes as well. Check it out. Like, you click on it. We introduce Passkey, which is like, you know, the login with biometrics, and then we make a wallet for you and drop a Round NFT in there using our new Near connection. It's really cool. Check it out. Give us feedback. That's the most important thing. Like, reach out. I'll make sure that we include that as well. Feedback is our lifeblood. That's how we grow. That's how we live.
All right, Rob. Because I'm bad at remembering these things, I'm begging you right now on air to email me all of those asks so that I can put them in the show notes, all those links. You can, if you're interested in talking to Round, you can also email me personally, brian@ridehomefund.com, and I'll put you in touch with Rob. And let me fight my dyslexia right now. If you want to learn more at all, ROWND.com or IO, there you go.
All right. Very cool.
Rob, thank you so much that's a textbook example of what an investor letter should sound look like. And thanks for catching us up on how Round is doing.
Thank you so much. And once again, thank you so much for being an investor. And to all of your LPs out there, thank you for being a part of this crazy journey.